Hello and welcome to a jam-packed and kind of crazy episode 15 of our college football podcast, The Fifth Quarter. As always, I'm your host, John Chomo. What a week we've had in week 13. We'll have to wrap that up and put a bow around it first. Look at all the, well, I can't look at all of the possibilities for championship games. In one conference, there's over 200 possibilities still. But we'll look at what we know in terms of teams qualifying for their conference championship games and playoff situations and so forth. And then we'll feature some games in what has become known as, quite rightly, Rivalry Week, Week 14 this year. We'll look at a key game list and make a few predictions as usual. So let's get started with our wrap-up of crazy Week 13. First of all, we have to have a shout-out here. Shout-out to the Seventh Son Brewery Company in Columbus, Ohio, where a bunch of us gathered to watch that Ohio State-Indiana game on Saturday. Shout-out to Russell and Juliana for being good hosts there for us in German Village, Matt and Marina, and, of course, Tammy and myself. Thanks to everybody for that. That was fun. The Buckeyes were typically slow in starting that game, and then kind of poured it on as the game went on. Those of you who watched know what I'm talking about there. That's kind of been their MO this year. Will Howard does not get enough. I've mentioned it before. He does not get enough love from the media. He completed something like his first 14 or 15 passes. He was 22 of 26, two touchdowns, one tip ball interception. He ran the ball a few times, ran for a touchdown. He's playing at a very high level and operating this offense very efficiently, and I don't think he gets enough credit. He gets enough credit here on the fifth quarter, let's say that. Caleb Downs, the Alabama transfer who has played fantastic safety for the Buckeyes all year, was back there on a punt return duty in the third quarter and picked one up on two bounces and spun around and dodged a couple folks and took it 79 yards to the house. That happened to be Ohio State's first punt return touchdown in 10 years and one day. In November of 2014, Jalen Marshall, a wide receiver, took one to the house against Indiana late in the third quarter as the Buckeyes trailed by a point. And he wound up scoring three more touchdowns in the fourth quarter of that game. It's known around here as the Jalen Marshall game. It was the same week, same opponent, same place. So hats off to Caleb Downs. The Buckeyes retooled offensive line once again after losing their center, McLaughlin, to a torn Achilles. Did the job all right. They weren't spectacular, but they were pretty good, all things considered. And they have another week to work on it and get better here. So that was fun. Great experience. And got home in time to watch the 7:30 game. So that was great. In other news in Week 13, the Big 12 is completely chaotic, completely upside down, completely up for grabs. When I looked on Sunday, I'm recording this on Monday, the 25th. On Sunday, I looked and there are 256 possible combinations of how the last week can play out in the Big 12. Brigham Young at Arizona State was wild on Saturday. There was a crowd storming with still 1 second left on the clock. It took them over 10 minutes to get the situation cleared up. They finally cleared the field enough so that BYU had an actual shot at it from about the 45-yard line for a Hail Mary to win the game on the last play. It did not work, and Arizona State won the game, and here come the fans again back onto the field. They need to kind of clean that up a little bit. But that game was crazy. Colorado at Kansas. Kansas set a record, really, I think. They're the first team ever to win three straight games over bowl-eligible or ranked, I'm sorry, ranked teams. Kansas has now won three straight games over ranked opponents, and they're still under 500. That's never happened before in the history of college football. Kansas can get to 500 and get bowl-eligible with a win this coming week. In the Big 12, nine teams are either at 6-2 in the league or 5-3. Eight of them are still mathematically still alive as I looked, and there's so many combinations. TCU is probably the exception there. Even West Virginia, 6-5 overall, 5-3 in the conference, there's a way they could get into the conference championship game. It's just crazy. The 6-2s, by the way, are Arizona State, Brigham Young, Iowa State, and Colorado. If all four of those win, it looks like Arizona State would face Iowa State in the conference championship game. But the way the Big 12's gone this year, I'm not predicting anything other than chaos, and they've got plenty of that. So that's fascinating. The SEC had their moment of chaos this week, the mighty SEC. Georgia, by playing, gosh, I forget who they played. They played some not very good team, Massachusetts, actually. Georgia, while playing Massachusetts, backed into the SEC championship game on Saturday. They're 9-2 overall, two losses in the league. They will play the winner of the Texas A&M game in College Station this coming weekend. Texas 10-1, A&M 8-3 now. A&M got beat in four overtimes at Auburn. That's part of the chaos in the SEC this week. If Texas A&M loses, they're obviously not in the playoff at 8-4. Georgia will probably be in at 9-2 with a couple of big wins. Alabama was awful at Oklahoma, who was a 5-5 team, lost 24-3. Alabama now has three league losses and appears to be out of contention for the playoff, unless some really crazy stuff happens. Jalen Milroe, who is a really terrific player and who has had a couple of marvelous games, just ask LSU about that. He looked like a seventh-grade quarterback at times in that game, particularly in the second half at Oklahoma. Just, I don't know what he was doing or what he was thinking or where he was throwing the ball, but it was really dreadful. Losing 24-3 to a 5-5 team is probably not going to get you in the playoff. So Alabama's out. SEC kind of had their worst possible scenario for getting a lot of teams into the playoff. They may only get three teams in. It's very likely, not for certain, that they'll only get three teams into the playoff this year. And I think everybody was expecting them to get at least four. But, hey, you know what? It was a chaos kind of weekend. The early field storming, we talked about the one in Tempe. They stormed the field with 25 seconds or so left in Norman. It wasn't the same thing. The game was not in doubt. Genuine joy in Oklahoma in qualifying for a bowl. I mean, that's not the standard there, but it's a big win for them against Alabama, obviously. Indiana, now moving back to the Big Ten. Indiana is a fascinating case in year one of the 12-team playoff. They came into Columbus 10-0, not a lot of quality wins. In fact, they only had three wins against bowl-eligible teams. And those teams have six wins, the minimum you can have to be bowl eligible. Those were Nebraska, Washington, and the team up north. And a sizable loss now to the only ranked team that they played, albeit a top two or three team in Ohio State. It's still a huge success story. Let's not take anything away from the job that Kurt Cignetti's done in Bloomington. Nobody saw 11-1 coming, and they're probably going to finish the regular season 11-1. I know it's a rivalry game, but they're playing 1-10 Purdue at Bloomington on Senior Day. That is, let's call that a very likely home win for the Indiana Hoosiers. So quite likely they will be 11-1, and they certainly deserve a shot in the playoff. A Big Ten 11-1 team certainly deserves a shot in the playoff. I don't think there's any question about that. So still a landmark season, really, for Indiana and a tremendous coaching job by Coach Cignetti. They kind of got planted in Columbus on Saturday. But, hey, you know, again, a super season, and I look for them to be in the playoff. Let's move now to conference championship games and what we know, kind of run them down one conference at a time here, trying to help the fans out here and help myself understand what's going on. First of all, for us local Northeastern Ohio folks, the Mid-American Conference has a couple of huge games this weekend. Both of them are on Friday. Miami at Bowling Green on Friday, Black Friday, if you will. So don't go out to the store. Stay home and watch MAC football. Miami at Bowling Green. The winner is in the MAC championship game. The loser, probably not so. So that's basically almost a conference championship semifinal. Ohio University would be in by winning their game and have versus Ball State, who's not really very good this year. And That would put them in the championship game to face the winner of Miami and Bowling Green. If Ohio were to lose, then Buffalo still has an outside chance. Buffalo will get a win this week. They play Kent State, the worst team in college football, FBS. So they'll probably win. They'll have to sit around and wait. I think they play Tuesday to see what happens with Ohio, Miami, and Bowling Green. So it's likely to be the winner of the Miami Bowling Green game versus Ohio if they can get by Ball State. That would be the situation in the MAC. Ohio, by the way, is still looking for its first MAC title in football since 1968, believe it or not. And that's crazy to even think about. In the Big Ten, it's been simplified now. Oregon is in. They play their rivalry game against Washington up in Eugene this coming Saturday. Ohio State will be in if they can beat their rival on Saturday afternoon. If they don't, then it would fall to Penn State and then Indiana in that order if those teams would win. But Oregon, Ohio State is the game that most people think will happen. I'm not really going to say much more about that. I don't want to jinx anybody. Oregon in, Ohio State in with a win. Let's leave it at that. The SEC, we know, as we mentioned already, Georgia will face the winner of the Texas A&M Classic. That hasn't been played for 13 years, by the way. The people in Texas are just thirsting to see that game again. And it's good for college football that Texas and Texas A&M are going to meet again on the gridiron. Winner of that game gets Georgia in the SEC title game. The ACC, fairly simple situation. SMU punched their ticket, Southern Methodist, in their first year in the Atlantic Coast Conference. I know they're not really near the Atlantic Coast, but that's how it goes these days. They will play Miami if Miami can beat Syracuse under the dome up in upstate New York. Don't take that for granted. Syracuse is 8-3 on the year. Kyle McCord, the former Ohio State quarterback, now the quarterback at Syracuse, went crazy on Saturday, was 37 for 47 for 470-some yards. That will not be easy for the Hurricanes. They have a tough one on their hands up at Syracuse this week. So if they were to lose, if Syracuse were to beat Miami, then Clemson, who is done with their league games at 6-2, Clemson would get in, back in, if you will. They're playing South Carolina. No easy task, but it's a non-league game this week. So it's SMU in, Miami went in with a win at Syracuse. If Miami loses, then Clemson will face SMU in the ACC championship game. The Big 12, we've already gone over that mess. Total chaos, which is kind of fun, except if you have to figure out who gets to play in the championship game. Then the mathematicians go to work. In Conference USA, Jacksonville State is in. Rich Rodriguez's team lost the first three games of the season and have now ripped off 8 wins in a row. They're undefeated in conference. They are in the title game. Liberty will be in if they defeat Sam Houston. That's a big game because Sam Houston still has a shot if they win. Western Kentucky, still in the running. They have to beat Jacksonville State, the aforementioned Rich Rodriguez team. WKU is in with a win plus a Liberty loss to Sam Houston. And Sam Houston would get in if they win and have Western Kentucky lose to Jacksonville State. Got that? It's Jacksonville State versus somebody. Liberty first on the agenda there in the Conference USA title game a week from now. In the Sun Belt Conference, the one that still has divisions, in the Eastern Conference, Marshall will be in with a win. It won't be easy. They are at James Madison. Georgia Southern would get in by defeating App State and having Marshall lose to JMU. Now, App State, an interesting case. They are 5-5 with one game left. They had one game canceled due to the awful damage from the hurricane earlier this fall up there in Boone, North Carolina. So Georgia Southern, App State is a big game. Georgia Southern wins, Marshall loses. It's Georgia Southern representing the East in the Sun Belt title game. If Marshall wins, then it's them. On the West side, Louisiana Lafayette, the Ragin' Cajuns, will be in with a win. South Alabama is waiting in the wings. If they win and have Louisiana lose their game, South Alabama would get into the title game as the West Division champs. So, most likely scenario, nothing for certain there, would be Marshall versus Louisiana, but there are still a couple of other possibilities. In the Mountain West, we know that Boise State and their Heisman candidate Ashton Gentry are in the title game already. They clinched that with a very tough win at Wyoming Saturday. There are a couple of other games of note that still matter. Colorado State, who lost for the first time in the league last week, will play Utah State. UNLV will play their rival Nevada. If both of them win, the higher-ranked team in the college football playoff rankings will go to the championship game. That would most likely be UNLV. So, Colorado State plays Utah State, UNLV plays Nevada. Both will be heavily favored in their games. If they both win, likely that UNLV will play Boise State in the Mountain West title game. That would be in Boise on the blue turf. The American Conference has been set for a couple of weeks. Tulane will play Army in the American Conference championship game in another week. Army was housed by Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium, but that's a non-league game for them. Their first loss on the season. Tulane has a very interesting game Thanksgiving night coming up against Memphis, a very good Memphis team. It'll be interesting to see how Tulane plays that. Will they play their starters the whole game, or will they kind of mix in some folks knowing that they've got a spot and they've got a very big championship game to play the following week? Be fascinating to see how Tulane handles it on Thanksgiving night. So there we go. Notre Dame, not in a conference. They are 10-1. They will play their rival Southern California out at the Coliseum in L.A. This weekend. Notre Dame, 10-2, likely still would get in. There would be some question, I suppose. But their name and their brand, don't think for a minute that the college football playoff folks wouldn't love to have Notre Dame in their playoff. Well, we'll see. So there are the rundowns for the conference championship games. Hopefully you were taking notes. It's pretty crazy in some of these leagues. All right, moving on to featured games for Rivalry Week, as we know it. In addition to the one, the only, the game in Columbus, noon on Saturday, we have the following. Friday, I mentioned two big games in the MAC, Miami at Bowling Green and Ball State at Ohio. Those will decide who plays for the MAC championship. Miami at Syracuse, we mentioned that one previously. That's going to be a really good game, I think. At Miami, we really have to play well to win that game and get in the title game. Notre Dame at Southern Cal. Again, ramifications there. Southern Cal got bowl eligible this past weekend with a win over their rival UCLA at the Rose Bowl. They really have nothing to lose. They might pull out some tricks against Notre Dame. Texas A&M, first time in 13 years at College Station. Got a lot of ramifications there. Marshall at James Madison is a good one in the Sun Belt to look at. A couple of notes on the game. The University up North, TTUN, has zero road wins this season. That's right, zero road wins for the defending national champion, asterisk. Speaking of the asterisk, we could see the university's response to the allegations, the notice of allegations that the NCAA gave them in the summer about the Connor Stallions cheating scandal, if you will. We may see that this week. They're due out in the middle of this week. The only way we wouldn't see them, I suppose, is if the NCAA granted the university an extension on their response. And there's been no word on that to this point. So that could be a little wrinkle thrown in here during Rivalry Week if we get to see how the university responds, if they challenge the notice of allegations or if they decide to accept it. In the past, if universities challenge and lose, the punishment is often a little bit worse. The NCAA doesn't take too kindly to that. So we'll see. That could happen this week. It could get delayed, just saying. Anyway. Moving on to my picks. Now, week before, week 12 was a total disaster. We dumped all four games and went one game under 500. So for week 13, we made the following choices. I took the Minnesota Gophers getting 13 points at home against Penn State. That turned out to be a one-point game, and Penn State, James Franklin, gambled a couple of times on his last possession and kept the ball for the last 6 minutes and won by 1 point. So Minnesota came through for me, and that's a win. I had Texas A&M as a 2.5-point favorite at Auburn. The game went 4 overtimes, and they got beat. It could have so easily been a win, but that was a loss. I took Nebraska to finally break through and get bowl eligible for the first time since 2016. They were 1-point favorite at home against Wisconsin. They won that game fairly handily, so that's a win. And then on Tuesday, past week, I took Toledo at home giving 3 points to Ohio. Toledo played well in the first half and was ahead at halftime and then played like a seventh-grade team in the second half. They were simply awful, and Ohio ran all over them in the second half and beat them 24-7. So that was a loss. So we went even on the week, 2-2. Our record for the season here at the fifth quarter is 26 wins, 27 losses, and a tie. So week 14, we're going to pick 4 more games. Here they are in no particular order. I've got Bowling Green getting 3 points, giving 3 points, pardon me. Bowling Green -3 at home against the Miami Redhawks. Chuck Martin's defense I trust more than Bowling Green. I'm going to take the Redhawks +3 at Bowling Green. Second game we'll pick, another game at Wrigley Field. Northwestern will host their rival, the Illinois Fighting Illini, who are ranked 25th this week, by the way. Northwestern getting 8 points in a quote-unquote home game. I'm sure there'll be a lot of orange and blue in the stands as well at Wrigley on Saturday. I'm going to go with Colin Dixon and the Fighting Illini in that one. They got a lot to play for. And Northwestern just got housed by Michigan this past week. Ooh, I said it. Sorry. So we'll take Illinois in that one. 8-point favorites at Wrigley Field. Miami of Florida at Syracuse. DraftKings says Syracuse getting 10.5. I'll take that all day at the Dome. I'll take Syracuse to make it closer than 10.5 points against Miami. Finally, we'll take the rivalry game in College Station. Texas at Texas A&M. Texas a 5.5-point favorite. Oh, boy. I'll take the Longhorns and Coach Sark in that one. And we'll take the Longhorns to win by more than 5.5 points at College Station. So there we go. Taking Miami, getting 3 at Bowling Green. Taking Illinois, giving 8 at Wrigley Field. Taking Syracuse, getting 10.5 under the Dome against Miami. And we'll take the Longhorns, giving 5.5 to the Texas A&M Aggies at their place in College Station. All right, so there we are. It's a jam-packed rivalry week. This is when it's the most fun to be a fan of one of these teams. And I hope everybody enjoys it. Hope your team wins their big rivalry game if you're playing one this week. Hope they're all enjoyable. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll wrap that up, and we'll have conference championship games to preview next week. So until then, have a great, safe Thanksgiving. Enjoy Black Friday. Don't go out to the store. Stay home and watch football. This is the fifth quarter. I'm your host, John Shomo. Have a great week and happy Thanksgiving, everybody.